Welcome to the Bangers List podcast, the world's best music-related podcast on the topic of very niche metal music. Yeah, boys, welcome to another episode. Julian, Daniel, how are we, guys?
Good, thanks, man. This is going to be a good one.
I'm very excited.
I can't fucking wait.
Look, before we get started, we always say, or I always say, you know, we try to target smaller bands to put a bit of a, you know, emphasis on them and their existence and get them some more coverage and all that. But today, and as we have been doing for the last couple of weeks, we're looking at what I would say a popular, successful, and established band. So who are they? What's the song? And how do we feel about them?
Well, we've got Five Finger Death Punch. Arguably one of the biggest rock metal bands in the world. Modern rock metal bands, I should say. Yes, extremely successful. Yep. We'll get into that. And the song, Gold Gutters, is off their most recent album. I believe it was released about 3 weeks ago now.
Perfect. What's it called?
Afterlife.
Afterlife, yep.
Track, I don't know, 10 maybe?
It's towards the end, I think.
It's the third last one, I think. Yeah.
I know it's second last.
That's all I can tell you. I think there's 11 tracks, so I'm going to guess 10.
Yep.
But could be wrong. But anyway, hugely successful band. And yes, we are covering yet another big band. But I know maybe we've got to ditch that whole band.
We do. We're just circle jerking about bands we like now. But that comes with a caveat, is that I don't know that Julian actually likes this band, mate. What's the go there?
Straight into it. Well, just to cover that last bit, we did, you know, like Electric Callboy. Definitely not as big a band. Lorna Shore, also not super well known. So we are kind of sticking to the whole, we're sort of sticking to it, we're sort of not, but maybe we just get rid of that. Right, the Nickelback of metal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
What's the question again? What do I think of Five Finger Death Punch?
What do you think of Five Finger Death Punch?
I don't hate them because I respect what people do. Like, I respect their hustle. They want to make music that people like, go for it. I just don't particularly think these guys are very good. Not bad as, I don't think they're bad as musicians. It's evident that they're good as musicians. I just think the music they make isn't very good.
Okay, that's basically
me done for the episode.
No. So it's not Julian's cup of tea.
No.
That's fine. That's all good.
That's fine. We are about variety here at the Bangers List. I'm not going to spend the entire episode shitting on them.
He is.
It's just...
only when he's speaking.
Yeah, only when I'm talking, yeah. All right, well, you know, you give us a bit of information about it. You're probably, out of the two of you guys, you're probably the bigger fan.
Yeah, look, I've been into them for about 8 or 9 years now. I think I discovered them on one of their tours here back in the Soundwave days.
Fuck, those days.
They were indeed. They've been around since, I think their first release was The Way of the Fist back in 2007. Since then, that was their first record, I should elaborate there. And they established a fan base from there and haven't let go of that at all. They've just kept rolling. Like they pretty much burst onto the scene with that album. They've just kind of kept it at a constant level since then. Got like great work ethic. They're just constantly putting out albums like every 2 years.
They're on a good album cycle.
Yeah, they got great work ethics, good drive. Have they had their issues over the years as well? A few lineup changes, but two of the members have remained true from the start. Ivan Moody. And Zoltan Bathory. I think that's how we say it.
Ivan being the singer, Zoltan being the...
Ivan's been there from the start.
Ivan was from a bigger band originally, wasn't he?
No.
I thought he was from another band.
I don't know if he was in a super group.
I think Five Finger Death Punch was basically meant to be a super group. They got a couple of guys.
Yeah, okay.
Bands.
Ghost Machine.
I see what you're saying. I think it was like a... It was an up and coming band, perhaps. But then him and Zoltan got together and just kind of. He's doing the Zoltan sign there. Someone had to. Ivan actually came in a little bit later. The original drummer Jeremy Spencer, I believe, was the lead vocalist to the very early days. Juggling a bit of both, but then I think they wanted someone to take on that true frontman lead singer role, and that's where Ivan came in.
And he really is that.
Oh, he's
very much so.
Yeah.
I will say this, like as I said, I'm not going to be overly critical. He can fucking sing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give him that. He's got decent uncleans and he's got a really, really powerful singing voice as well. He's like Corey Taylor from Wish. Do you know what I mean?
I'll cop that. It's an incredibly rich tone.
Yes.
And like, he can write it. I don't know if he writes the hooks, but he can sing a chorus, and basically every chorus in all their songs is like really, really good. He's just nails
very
it every
powerful.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very Chess voice.
Yeah.
Throwback to season one when you explained that. But yeah, big, powerful sort of. And he's definitely got the attitude for a front man as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the charisma and he's got the personal issues that go with your typical front man.
Blessing
well,
and the
so,
curse.
They,
yeah.
What do they call a clown from Slipknot? I think I touched on this before. LSD, lead singer's disease.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. Like you say that phrase, and how many people, like how many singers come to mind? Like Axl Rose, like objectively Corey Taylor. You know, Ivan Moody, fucking Ollie Sykes, all of these guys that have just got such huge personalities. Yeah. And it's just, you sort of go, oh, yeah, of course, because you're the singer in a band.
Yeah, huge personalities. And then you got to deal with the fame that comes with it as well. And it can get your head, and it can lead to, you know, various issues, substance abuse being one of them. Ivan Moody is no stranger to alcohol abuse. I think at one time he doesn't really talk about it, but I think he pretty much fucking died.
Yeah,
well,
and came back.
Yes, I think that's true. Let me try and break that down a bit more. So I think it kind of started that he was hungover and they were performing in the Netherlands, right? And he was performing like shit. And I think the guitarist was like, fuck this, I'm leaving. And so Ivan basically quit the band then and there, maybe not during the show, possibly after. So they told him, like, fuck, you know, fix your shit up, mate, or fuck off. And this is around 2013, so I believe he had a break at that stage. And that's when Tommy Best replaced him
Tommy
to finish
Vex.
Off the tour.
Tommy Vex from
the
former Bad
video
Wolves,
this morning, actually, yeah.
That was about maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. Okay. Yeah.
And obviously, if you don't complete a tour, I think you have to pay contracts out or something like that, or you'll be up for the money that you didn't make and all that kind of stuff. So basically, that Tommy Vex guy saved the band, more or less. And the band was kind of saying that, you know, we need to get either these tours sorted out and the record deal sorted out, because it's going to be like a 10-figure kind of payday for them. But back to Ivan. So he was admitted to rehab, and I believe this might have been the time when he died. They say that he had like a 0.36 blood alcohol content level, right?
Oh.
So I think you should be dead, because 0.16 to 0.3 is alcohol poisoning, depending on the size of the person. So I'm thinking that's like 300 milligrams of alcohol per 100 mil of blood, right? So he's got 3 grams of alcohol per liter in his body, so 15 grams total in his bloodstream. So he should be dead, well, like you're saying.
That's intense.
I've never had a DUI before, but I don't know how it works. But is it 0.03 or 0.3?
He had 0.3.
Yeah.
It's measured in milligrams.
One being 100%.
No.
Or one being 1%.
One would be 1%.
So yeah, his blood was 0.3 alcohol.
Like I said, 300 milligrams, milligrams per 100 mils, so 3 grams per litre. Which is a fraction, like it's 15 grams.
Well, no, it would be 0.3.
0.3 grams per litre.
0.3 grams per 100 litres.
So like, okay, well, that's, I can't math clear, that's fine. We're not here to do math, are we?
I fucked some math up the other day.
So I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, the point was he was fucking cooked.
Yeah.
Yes, and as you said, I believe he didn't really die, and he woke up with like his daughter crying and all that jazz. But
that was a wake-up call for him.
But so... obviously, alcoholism, as you said, happens for a host of reasons, right? Including dependence caused by withdrawal, which is a big thing. Once you get started, you can't kind of stop. But the ethanol in alcohol is what affects the neurotransmitters in your brain, right? And it gives the amygdala, pretty sure it's the amygdala. It's like feelings of euphoria. So you feel good, right? So you feel good and your brain's like, yeah, boy, give me more of that. And if you keep drinking, if you don't keep drinking, rather, your brain gets sad, right? And that's basically withdrawal. So he's going through this at a really high level. So he drinks to stay happy, negatively reinforces the behavior, and then it's that slippery slope into dependence. So he's obviously dependent. But the point is, it can affect anyone, and it can affect people easier than you'd think. And that's kind of Ivan's story of alcoholism, the poor bloke.
Yes. Right. Look, not to get too deep too quickly, alcoholism is definitely, I think, one of the lesser acknowledged addictions that people have. And, you know, up until I was sort of 26 or 27, I was like, oh, how can you be like, you know, how hard is it not to have a fucking drink? Hearing that's one thing, because that's sort of the psychological and medical component of it. But I did actually have a few friends back. They're sort of changed now, but I had a few friends when I was a bit younger that just would be on the piss every day. And not while they were at work, but after work, they just couldn't fucking say constant, no to a six pack.
Yeah.
Just it was just constant.
No control.
Yeah, exactly right. But and you know, they weren't getting absolutely shit hammered every night. But it's like, dude, you don't need to buy a fucking 12 pack and drink it after work. You know what I mean? And it was when I saw that, I really started to get a better idea. And I, you know, age and maturity, that's they go hand in hand all the time.
Yeah.
You get a better idea and you go, right, now I understand why it's so like not underrated is not the right word, but under acknowledged.
It's quite prevalent, but it's socially acceptable.
Yeah.
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 More or less.
So you know, someone going through that at the height of that sort of fame as well, because they would have been really taking off at that point, hey.
Yeah. Absolutely, dominating the world at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
In all due respect to Ivan, he's got himself clean. He's good. He's been sober for about 12, 18 months, something like that now, and he's been very open about it with his, publicly he's been very open about it in interviews and you can look in his songwriting as well.
It's all there.
There's a track off, not Fate.
The Wrong Side of Heaven?
No, not The Wrong Side. It's the one after that.
The Wrong Side of Heaven, Volume 2?
No. One after that. Got Your Six. Got Your Sixth album. Got Your Six. And it was actually originally a bonus track, I believe, but it ended up becoming one of their hit singles from the album. It's called I Apologize. And the video clip for that is basically Ivan Moody's, you know, grown his beard out. He's looking, you know, kind of a bit sad, a bit worse for wear. And he's basically playing the role of this an Undertaker.
Oh, it's like a story.
Great digger. Yeah, okay, and he's going through pans through all these different tombstones. It's of public figures and celebrities that died of alcohol.
There you go.
Poisoning or alcohol related deaths.
So he is bringing awareness.
Yeah,
and it's positive. I would say.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rather for all the negatives he's gone through. Okay.
Well, that's good to hear. I did sort of do some cursory research this morning about it, and there was a video I saw where basically his band. Like he came out drunk and his band walked off stage. And they were like, fuck, we need to get this sorted. And then
I think that was the story Joel was referring to.
Yeah. And then they came back, but then he sounded shit. And what was the other singer's name?
Tommy Vex.
He came out to sing because Ivan Moody was late. And then he came and like told him to get off stage. And then there was this whole big fucking.
Yeah. I think what happened was that show, he had some shit going on and he was actually late. He missed the first couple of songs. So Tommy Vex came out to start the show. And then Ivan Moody had a bit of a, you know,
tantrum.
Yeah, and he basically had publicly announced in front of at the show that he was leaving the band, that he was done.
Yeah.
And then Jason Hook, the guitarist at the time, was getting a bit
had
enough. Yeah,
down,
and then
yeah,
he had enough,
that.
And they were just sort of kind of playing. And it looked like it was going to be the end of Five Finger Death Punch right there. But Tommy Vex finished the tour with them. They got Ivan went checked himself into rehab,
so it was
got himself
after
right.
That.
Yeah, and then Phil Labonte from All That Remains stepped in for. Leg of their tour to help him out as
well. That's the tough thing too, I guess, because when you're in a band, like, you know, I don't know what the drummer's name is, but let's say the drummer or the bassist or whatever, they're not the personalities that are causing the clash. Like, it's the guitarist and obviously the lead singer that's being the problem. Like, that's got to be really tough because you're like, I'm out here trying to get paid as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, we as a business, we need to keep doing this. We can't just keep,
always that.
Why does your fucking ego have to get in the way?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they might have had enough money that it may have corrupted him at that stage.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
See the clothes he wears now. He's pretty out there.
No, he's a person.
Yeah, I saw a video clip of him wearing a fucking white top hat. I'm like, what's going on there?
All right.
I got plenty more to say. He actually got arrested landing in Australia, home of the Bangers, this podcast. Because he was drunk on a plane, assaulted someone.
That was after I saw them. That was like 2 days after I saw them. They were supporting Avenged.
So he's crazy.
That would have been a big tour.
And yeah, it was huge. It was Arsing Alexandria opening act.
What year?
This was a side wave. This was a side wave for Soundwave 2014. So Arsing Alexandria opening, Five Finger Death Punch following them, A7X.
Oh,
that was fucking amazing. Best gig I've ever seen.
A valley, then a peak again.
No, for me, it gradually got better.
That sounds
it was sensational.
Dennis Stoff? That whiny little bitch they had for a little while?
It was their very early days.
Asking Alexandria.
It was their very early days. So I'd say, was he their first singer? Or?
No. He was Danny Warsnop left, and then he did The Black with them, Dennis. He was the guy, he's from that fucking terrible band that you showed me, Make Me Famous.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Blind Date 101?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, we keep going straight. Now, the song, Gold Gutter.
Yeah, well, Julian, you've mentioned, you know, as you're walking in here, that you're not a huge fan of this song. What don't you like about it? Yeah. Tell us what don't you like about it.
This is just going to be like can the spies we narrow episode, that down? Yeah. Why Julian doesn't like things. Well, okay, maybe it's fair if you guys talk about what you do like first, just to put it back on you. Like, well, tell everyone about the song, rather than just me shitting on it off the bat.
It's got basically an intro solo, and that's fucking dope. That's two solos in one song. Mad.
That is mad. Look, it's the reason why I picked this song for the bangers list is I wanted to speak about Five Finger Death Punch for a long time. I think COVID, I was going to do it in their last album, Fate, with one of their songs, This Is War. And COVID kind of fucked that up for us and we didn't see each other for like a year and a half, basically. But
yeah, we did a couple.
Yeah, it just wasn't the same.
Bangers list.
Wasn't
the same. Yeah.
So, and we forgot that, forgot all about it. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to do a Five Finger one. And then they released a new album recently, as mentioned earlier, and here
take
we are.
Take the fucking hint, A7X. Give us some content to talk about.
We're waiting patiently, oh my God. But it'll be worth the wait, I'm sure. But anyway, so Gold Gutters, because I wanted to pick something new. And this album, Afterlife, it's an interesting one. I dig the album. It's Five Finger Death Punch, but it's still fresh at the same time. But this track reminded me of their earlier stuff, their heavier stuff. And I just think it's something that's sort of, it's in your face, it's heavy, it's a big sort of fuck you.
Yeah, it's a very loud and proud kind of song.
Yeah.
Lyrically and musically.
That's right, yeah. And I feel it fits the bangers list well.
Sure.
Like, I think it...
What do you think about the, I guess it's a call and response where he says something, he sings something, he says like, you know, thank you for letting me down, and then he like talks
back
to himself.
I'd like to thank the world or
whatever. Yeah, he's like, I'd like to thank the world. He sings that a bit and then he's like, and you, and you, and you, and he like speaks that bit. That's a call and response where he's like talking.
Yeah, he does, he does cool shit like that.
It's cool, yeah. It's a bit different.
He's got a very interesting mind, but I don't know his creative approach to it, but yeah, he's very unique with... like lyrically with what he writes, but also how he delivers those lyrics and how he turns them into catchy as fuck hooks.
It's kind of like how we were talking about last week, I think, Jeremy McKinnon. He talks about things that are very specific and personal to him, and it feels like...
It's almost like he's speaking rather than singing.
And Ivan Moody's like really... Yeah. Whoever he's singing to or talking to as well in the song, it seems like it's targeted. It's very obvious that he's saying something to someone or something has given him like that idea to sing about. Very personal. Yeah, it's good.
Someone's upset him. Yeah.
Yeah. But so the song basically for me, as I said, it's got an intro solo. Then you can tell me if I'm wrong. It's basically like verse chorus again.
Oh, it's
solo. Then he talks to us for a bit, then has a breakdown, then like solo, chorus, coda kind of thing. It's almost, as you say, the pop.
Oh, it's that
structure
pop and rock formula. It works, and they don't really deviate from that too much.
No, but when you have someone like Ivan, they can just
smash they've a got
chorus.
They've got a formula. They pretty much stick to it, which I think is part of the reason as to why they can constantly deliver. Like every two years, and even
whether
or
not they like to admit it, subconsciously, I think it's fair to say that people like structure.
They do, yeah.
Or
it's familiar.
They accept structure.
Creates that sense of familiarity, and you, and it's not hard, even though it's heavy and intense, it's not hard to listen to. Like as a rock fan or a metal fan, like it's something you can go right. Like it's straightforward. We listen to something very proggy out there that's all over the place. I think we mentioned someone like Mastodon last week, and it's just a bit, you just don't know where the fuck it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Dream
right.
Theater, something like that.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, it can be great, but I think it only appeals to a really select. A really select and limited audience.
Fair enough. Well, in this one, like I said, he like stops before the breakdown just to like talk. I found that like a little bit, I guess, out of place. But as you said, he's trying to get a message across. He's talking to someone.
Yeah, and it's I don't know really how to describe that bit, but it kind of catches you off guard a little bit. It's like breaking down the walls a little bit, and it's like he's talking at you. Like talking directly to you, as opposed to singing a song, and it creates a bit of unease for me, and then it just comes in with the.
You know what he says before the breakdown?
This is my favorite part of the movie. Yeah. No, I'm not fading to black. This is where you fucking scream.
Yeah. Oh, and then he missed a trick there because then he says bounce where he should have just screamed.
Yeah,
he should have screamed instead of saying bounce into the.
Mate, you're not a rapper. Don't say bounce. You know, actually, no. I take that back. I take that back because the. Breakdown from Survival by In Heart's Way, The Chariot. That's like one of the most hectic Australian breakdowns ever. And he says, and I really hate this, he says, motherfucking bounce as the tempo of the breakdown changes. God. But it kind of fits. So it would be remiss of me to be like, oh, you're not allowed to say the word bounce in a song.
Well, I'm going to say that he should have screamed. Or if he said bounce, it would have been great if it went to like a dubstep breakdown instead.
I don't know, but you picture the pit though. To me, it creates that image of...
But just say it live.
Just bouncing.
Yeah, so he's...
Say it live.
But I don't know. I think it's kind of cool when they do that. It can be... It's a little... It's on the cringe. It is a little cringe, but
it's kind of... That's the word I was going to... I didn't want to just pile it on top of you and...
So cringy.
Take away from what you were saying. Because what you're saying is not untrue. Someone in your position that's a fan of this music, fantastic. You love it. I think it's cringy as fuck. Like, I think the what does he fucking say? I got the lyrics here on my phone. He's like, oh shit, you know what fucking time it is. Like, what are you, Fred Durst? Do you know what I mean? Like, Fred Durst would look at that and like just never wear a red fitted again. He's got those like dad vibes going, that whole thing going on now as well. Like, I thought the lyrics were, it's, you know, I last week we said, classic, fuck you, I'm angry song. Great, no worries. Whatever. But I thought there was a couple of like cliches, like aggressive music, like, a mate of mine, I'm going to have to tell him what the name of the podcast is now. I've been not telling him because I get embarrassed about the sound of my voice. I like doing it.
And
I
the hate, content. Hey, mom. Hey.
I hate sharing like me with people. I would be fine to share it if it was just you guys talking. Like, I produced this. I'm going to have to share it with him now. He called them bro rock.
Bro rock.
Bro metal.
Bro metal.
Like, okay. You know, the fucking motocross gear. And you could just see like dudes... Like football dudes in America, like drinking beer and fucking driving pickup trucks and riding dirt bikes and
guns.
Like, you know, like this is their kind of music. Or like not limited to that kind of person, but you know what I mean. Like it's fucking bro metal. And I found that that sort of turns me off it a little bit. Like then the I'm just trying to find the lyric now. It's in the chorus.
Right,
light the match and look out below. I think that's it. Save your breath, light the match, and look out below.
But he sings it so well.
Fingers to the sky, they're pointed at you, right at you, motherfucker. Like, the delivery is fantastic.
It is. It's so...
It really, like...
Oh, the delivery... Ivan never lets you...
He rides that line between unclean and clean extremely well. Cannot take that away from him. Just what he's saying. It's like you... Remember the Wage War episode? You fucking hate that. I know I wasn't perfect, but I certainly tried so hard. You fucking hate that.
Because it was shit. Cringe. Right? And it was delivered badly. But in this case, well, what he's saying might make you go, ugh. He delivers it so well that it... Actually, someone said to me when I first was introduced to this band, I was back years ago, I was an apprentice driving in a truck. And he's like, the guy I was with, he said, I'm going to put a CD on. Hope you don't mind. It's a bit heavy. And it was Five Finger Death Punch. And so we listened to it in the truck. And he's like, do you know why I like these guys? And I'm like, no idea, bro. He's like, because it's tough. There you go.
That's exactly what I was fucking talking about.
It's tough.
Well, I mean, it's in the name though. Five Finger Death Punch.
It's from Asian martial arts.
Zoltan's which is black belt in jiu-jitsu and judo. Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Either of those Asian?
No, I think, well, Brazilian. Jiu-jitsu. Yeah. I think judo's Asian.
The name,
but
yeah,
I think judo is Japanese.
No, it would have amused me if he had a black belt in two martial arts that weren't from the country that their name originated from.
So I guess they're obviously... They're named after a movie, like you said. That's kind of
I cool. think it's yeah, it's all a concept that. From is it's similar to the one in Kill Bill, the 5-point
exploding
heart strike or
we're so bad at research
some shit like that. Yeah, anyway.
But they've you can talk in a minute, mate, because I know you've got more to say. I'm sorry, but I just gonna need to get all the rest of my shit on
you,
my chest.
You get out what you need to get out
because we were going to do this podcast last year, so I got a plethora of crap to get through. They've sold lots of albums, right, and have very high radio exposure, right? Mm-hmm. So some of their songs, Julian, are written to be played on radio, and I'm assuming it's to be like American rock radio, right?
And that's where the whole Nickelback.
Well, no, but in fairness to them, radio getting played on the radio doesn't mean you're a pop act anymore. There's like a lot of digital radio stations that are absolutely fucking nutty popular. Yeah, like in America, like
I never would have thought that.
Yeah, no, there's heaps of digital radio stations.
Cool. Yeah, we don't really have that here.
But they will play
degree.
Like rock music. And again, in America, it's a different box of frogs. You know what I mean? It's not like you're either like you're not played or you're played on a dog shit radio like Triple J.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So I'm thinking what I'm saying this is that they were on like mainstream sponsored by heavy ad revenue kind of radio stations like that. But so in that case, because they're being heard so much, do you think people hate Ivan? Because of his that overexposure, or just because he's famous, or because of who he is.
All three.
All three. He's a very strong personality, like you touched on earlier, yep. Julian. And what do we call it? LSD. Lead singer disorder. Is that what you call
disease.
It? Disease. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. Yeah.
He's got an ego and a personality, even though I believe he's much more humble these days. And yeah. I think at his core, he's a very good person.
Age does that too. Yeah. Age and bad experience. Right. You look at dudes like Axl Rose, right? People think Guns N' Roses are great, or they think they're shit.
Yeah. And you look at Axl Rose now, and he's put a lot of his ego aside. Duff and a couple of the guys came back, and they got, you know.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like
of the original lineup.
He's still a very polarizing individual. That's what I'm getting at. Like, but Guns N' Roses, while I think they're shit, is objectively one of the most influential sort of acts of their generation.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They helped put metal on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that I have to like them, but you have to sort of just accept where someone's place is in history, I guess.
100%.
And this is just another version of that coming through.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking earth. I remember reading years ago an article, like my name, BuzzFeed, maybe some kind of equivalent to BuzzFeed. And we know BuzzFeed's not a very good thing, but they were saying that they said that I think their point was the reason they don't like Five Finger Death Punch and the reason Five Finger Death Punch is bad is because they made a tactical move to try and corner the American defense soldier
that's
market.
A good point to bring up. What? I don't know if they were cornering it. I know that they're very appealing to like army vets or military vets. They have a lot of their a few of their video clips have like war themes and they deal with topics of like PTSD and stuff like that. And call them shit, whatever. I respect bringing awareness to things like, you know, combat PTSD.
They've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's a criminally under-noticed thing.
The charities.
They probably would have done more, but I know they did $200,000 to families of fallen police, right? They also did $259,000 plus for soldiers specifically with PTSD. They fought against poaching in Africa. And they're actually allowed on like a Japanese submarine and got to like sign the torpedoes because the Japanese defense personnel like loved them and let them come into the submarine. So there's a lot of respect there and they're doing, they are doing good things. So it's really hard. Like as we say, it's that cognitive dissonance when he's done things that are bad and you might not like him and the things that he has done, but at the same time, he's doing great things and his music is great. So it's for me and Daniel, we're experiencing that cognitive dissonance that we love the band and their music, but understand that he's bad. But then give him a break because I'll just deal with that cognitive dissonance. Whereas you, Julian, you like stick to your morals and like, this guy's a cunt, fuck him, fuck their music, right? And think about...
Well, at a surface level, I don't like the music for music reasons.
Yeah.
And I don't dislike him because he's a fuckhead. Like, it hasn't come out that he's, like, you know, like a pedophile or something. Like
no,
if
exactly.
You're just a fuckwit,
exactly.
But you don't really hurt anybody, that's different.
Mm.
And I guess that was sort of my reason. Like, being a fuckwit's sometimes subjective. I'm fully aware that I don't think the guy's a fuckhead. I don't have a problem with him at all.
Mm.
No beef with him as a human. Just don't like him or his music.
And that's fair enough.
I don't like him as the lead singer and what he does in Five Finger Death Punch.
Gotcha.
If I met him, I'd probably have a beer with him. He'd be fine.
Yeah, probably.
Like, just probably meeting a very interesting conversation.
Sure,
honesty,
exactly right. Yeah, it's like we both have no hair. Well done.
I guess, getting back to like their music, I guess, I think their first single was called The Bleeding. Is that correct? One of their first singles?
I don't know if it was the first.
Or it was their first.
It was their lead single off The Way of the Fist. The first might have been... No, it could have been.
The Bleeding was their first single in 2007.
The very first single.
Yeah.
There you go.
And the reason,
and it's one of their biggest still.
It is. And you know why it holds a special place in our heart, Daniel?
We did a cover of
it.
We did a cover of it.
Thank
you. It was our first cover.
It was our first cover. So
we had no idea what the hell we were doing.
Sliding Doors moment, wasn't it? Yeah. For them and us. Just there you go. Mayvale Covers, hashtag shout out.
So guys, if you're listening to it, do not check out Mayvale Covers on YouTube.
M-A-Y-V-A-L-E.
That's good.
I actually heard these guys about 2009. When was that? Let's say 2010.
Yes, I think that's about 5 years after their inception.
War is the answer. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like 19, 20, very impressionable. Mm-hmm. Still really hadn't got my roots down in metal.
Yep.
I mean, I started with Slipknot and In Flames at 14, which is not a bad fucking start. But anyway, I was like, I think my mate gave me the record, and back then Spotify didn't exist, and I was like, oh, War is the Answer. That sounds tough. Anyway, listen to the song. I actually listened to it again yesterday for the first time in probably about 10 years. And fuck me, it's terrible.
I thought you were going to say it was good.
All the song used, war is the answer.
Yeah, all the things I used to like about it. And
More like a groove metal track.
Yeah,
really.
But the drums are mixed terribly. You can barely hear the machine gun double bass. And the whole where he gets the tough guy voice is like, I'll slap you so hard you'll feel like you kissed a freight train. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what the fuck?
Oh, look, they've come a long way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're still the same shtick. They're still the same kind of tough guy, like, I'm about what I'm about kind of shtick, and that's fine. Mm. I mean, so if nothing else, in essence, they've stuck to what they want to do.
Stuck to their guns,
just wearing fucking motocross gear all the time as well. It. That one I don't get, but, I mean, now he's wearing, like, fucking felt white top hats, so, man, fucking dress like Kratos. Was it Kratos? He does the red hand paint on his face,
Yeah.
Go for it, man. He's got a head for it. Nice round head.
He's out there.
Me and Daniel love a round head. Yeah, exactly right. So.
Joel can't relate.
Yeah.
Joel's got a very rectangular head, doesn't he?
He's got a good head for hair.
Yeah.
Rectangular must be because I'm breathing from my mouth too much. I think that happens if you breathe through your mouth too much, your head gets a different shape. Could be wrong. Don't fact check us because we are actually a music podcast. Fuck, sorry about all the tangents, Daniel. Did you want to actually say something of substance?
I like this because you obviously are studying psychology.
Yeah.
Who else would speak with such a monotone, like, medical and scientific temper if you weren't, right? It'd just be me and him waffling shit lips going, oh, I'm pretty sure if you've got a brain, it fucking means you can see. I like this new trend we're having is the more you're learning at uni, the more it's being – I appreciate your research in it, so – now to Daniel, who knows music stuff.
Well, I think we really touched on the music for this song in particular.
Yes.
But was there anything more you wanted to say on it?
I wanted to specifically ask you, it's called Gold Gutter, and he actually says
Gold Gutters.
He says he's got one hand in the gold.
Is this Gold Gutter?
He's got one hand in the gold and one foot in the gutter. Does that mean he's like on the verge of homelessness? Is that the metaphor there? What am I hearing?
It's a tough one. Because I was going to look up the term gold gutter to see if it was if it had any sort of meaning or if it's something he just came up with. My take on it is that it's from the point of view of someone who is struggling. So, you know, fist in the gold, foot in the gutter. So the foot in the gutter to me is a metaphor for someone who's struggling, whether it be homelessness, whether it be, you know, financially, whatever. But fist in the gold means they're still, despite their, you know, their situation, they're still striving
reaching
for success.
For the, yeah, yeah,
man.
Reaching for the sky. Be, maybe
the foot in the gutter could be like connection to their roots.
Maybe. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Could be so that as well.
Someone that's reached a level of success but still hasn't, like, you know, the whole, it's like a fucking old hardcore thing. Yeah, I'm still the same person I ever was.
Yeah.
Like success doesn't change me as such.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think their whole theme must resonate with a bunch of people about trying to be tough in the face of, I don't know,
adversity.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Oh, jinx.
Yummy a Coke.
Yeah, bro. Sick.
Yeah. And musically, I think, you know, we touched on the breakdown. We touched on the use of the lead guitar work. I will mention that as well.
He's a legit guitarist.
He's fucking good. Andy Lee.
I say that not to be contemptuous, but like, I don't know.
No, he is. This is his first album. This is his first record with the band. Sure. Jason Hook. So Jeremy Spencer left after and Justice for None. I think he was having back issues and he became a cop. This was the drummer, the original drummer. Okay. Then he became a cop for a while. Then I think he was in a porno or something. I don't know.
Fucking hell.
And hey, only fans, then he started another band. But and then Jason Hook left after the recording of Fate, F8.
Yeah.
I can see you cringing right there, John.
I just think the Fast and the Furious movie. I was like, was it a direct fucking soundtrack? Because I can see their music being like,
it would
the
work.
Entire
it would work.
What's it called? Starts with an S. I've completely forgot the word now. The entire score. There you go. The entire score of a Fast and Furious film.
It could just totally fit.
Because they've got like acoustic songs. They've got ballads. Yeah. They've got like attempts at being heavy. They've got the whole package. Heavy.
You asshole.
The guitarist writes good heavy riffs. I love his tone.
Zoltan, yes. That's all Zoltan. But on Jason Hook, so he left after the recording of Fate. And that, to be fair, that came out at the peak of COVID as well. I think he was like, and he had a lot of time to reflect, and he said, and they weren't touring for the first time in fucking years. And he's like, you know what, I'm, and it wasn't anything to do with like, it might have been a bit of sort of unresolved issues with, yeah, with the tension from the, you know, those issues we discussed.
Problematic period they had.
Yeah, that problematic period back in, you know, 2016, 17. Yeah.
Well, but I think he said for years as well.
Yeah, exactly right.
Could have been brewing, had a problem with the drink for a long time, but they sort of kept it.
But yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And I think Jason left pretty much, not so much on good terms, but he just pretty much said, "Look, I just feel like I'm done. I've achieved everything I've wanted to achieve with this band. Like,
yeah,
had like the band's had I think 5 platinum albums in the US. And
what's platinum?
Platinum's a million record sales in physical sales.
Fuck
yeah,
me, Dad.
Yeah.
No,
and now I don't know. I think there's like equivalent sales. Now we've talked on this in a recent episode, but
yep,
you get a certain amount of spins for equals one equivalent sale or whatever. But
oh, like on
plays
radio.
On Spotify, on spins, oh, okay, spins on radio and plays on Spotify, iTunes, etc., etc.
Sure.
Et al.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
But yeah, so he pretty much, Jason had pretty much stated that he had achieved everything he wanted to achieve in the band, and he felt like it was just time to move on. And you know, and he was having some health issues as well. He had to have like pancreatic surgery and pulled out of a tour. That's when the new guy came in, and I think it's Andy James, and he's just as good as Jason Hook from at a technical level. Has a slightly different sort of tone, but it's good. It gives in this album you can hear that it's. You can, if you really pay attention, you know there's a new guitarist there. Well, you'd be like, niche. Right, you're like, right, this is a little bit of a change, but so it yeah. adds that, you know, it is refreshing in that sense, but it's still Five Finger Death Punch. You still know it's Five Finger Death Punch. And that's all to do with Zoltan.
It is Andy James as well, yeah.
Yeah, Andy James, cool, I got that right. But Zoltan, I believe, is the key sort of riff writer.
Is he the guy with the big dreads?
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah, and then they got Chris Kyle, I think is how you say it. K-A-E-L.
Yeah,
Kyle.
Kyle Smoothie.
And he's got a fucking... He's another bald cunt. Fuck yeah. Respect. And he's got the epic beard. He's got a dreaded
beard. They're bro metal. That's legit what they are. They're bro metal. They're the fucking guys you see on Instagram spruiking like beard products.
Yeah.
That's them. You know what I mean? It's like big Viking looking dudes.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
They're just fucking tough, man. Just
yeah. Yeah. I want to save it for the songs we like by them section, but I'll say it
right
now.
We can just jump right into that.
Yeah. Oh well, I didn't want to cut you off.
All I was going to say was Zoltan. We'll get to that, but Zoltan is the I believe he is the, whilst Ivan's the face, Zoltan
he's
the engine. He's the one that keeps it going, and the way he writes, like he's very consistent. He's, you know, like Ivan, he always delivers. He's got, we said earlier there. Bro metal or whatever,
yeah, sure,
like there. And it's in the name, Five Finger Death Punch, and Zoltan's got that martial arts background.
Sure.
I think it's got this kind of image and theme going, and Zoltan always delivers on that. The way he plays, like it's, you know, he'll have some chugs, have some heavy, muddy sort of sounds, but he has some really sort of tight, like muted kind of riffs as well that...
He can play up and down the
fretboard.
Yeah,
he can. And he has little spurts where he plays little scale rundowns at a very high intensity. I think he brings a lot of intensity to his writing, which
he's always doing something.
Death Punch.
Yeah. He's never in cruise control.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, he doesn't miss either.
No.
I'll say that because like, the thing about Ivan is I think with every song, great choruses, great lyrics. No, kidding. No. Great singing, great screaming. And when they're with the guitarist, it's always great riffs.
No, I disagree. I think Ivan's got some really good. Like he's got there's some lyrics that are cringe, but that's, you know, every songwriter's going to have their moment there.
It's full tilt, full time with everyone at the band. Yeah.
And very rich of us to talk shit about people that can write lyrics.
Yeah, I can't fucking write lyrics.
No,
for shit.
But I've always said that just because you don't do something like that professionally doesn't mean that it doesn't preclude you from being able to comment on it.
Yeah.
Someone could listen to this and go, I don't agree with anything you fucking said, Julian. And I go, cool.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
That's cool.
Guess
that's what? This is about.
I just sat in a fucking room with two people that have the same opinion as you and recorded this. So like that means nothing to me.
Yeah.
I would like to go out on a limb and say, I don't think these guys are as bad as Nickelback.
Love that.
I just, because as much as I don't like some bands, they're still part of the metal community. And it's like, you know, it's like your redheaded stepchild. You don't really like them being around, but they're family. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to put it out there that these guys are still better than Nickelback. And that's by a long distance as well.
They're
glowing praise.
Yeah, it might be like a mile versus a scale of like 10 like light years, but still, it's a while.
They're like I touched on earlier, they're one of the most successful modern rock and metal bands going around.
You can't take that away.
You can't take that. And look, and they whether you like them or not, they play that part in the metal community. Like
that means we're wrong.
No, it doesn't.
If the majority likes them, you're wrong.
Oh, that's right.
But when you know they're successful and they've got fucking Megadeth supporting them, though.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, I think that's more of an indictment on Megadeth than anyone.
Like the fourth.
So Megadeth supported them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or was it like
South
a head
American
co-head?
Too. I think it's still happening because it got delayed because of COVID. I think it's.
Please tell me Megadeth's name is below theirs on the bill.
Yes. It is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Fuck Dave Mustaine's a dickhead.
He's Ivan of an earlier generation, basically, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, problems. He just looks more like a fucking carrot.
Because of his hair.
He really does. He really does.
Yeah,
but
nice.
just on his Ivan's lyrics, just to elaborate on that point, yeah, he has his moments where it is, you know, a bit cliche, bit cringe, but he does
cringe
deliver
to certain
them.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cringe to certain people. I find them cringe sometimes well, but I always think he. But like 99% of the time he delivers
it
them really
be very
well.
Empowering
yeah.
and
exactly.
supportive to someone 100%. Else and fantastic, awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to quote a line from a very interesting track off their latest record, Afterlife. I think track 5 or 6. It's called Judgment Day.
Mm.
It's basically like it's almost got like a hip hop sort of
of course it fucking does
vibe to it in a okay. way without him rapping. He's sort of like talking into the,
yeah,
into the mic, but it builds
kind of
up, and it's just it's got this tribal beat through it, and it just gradually kind of builds up. No, I wouldn't say it even builds up; it builds up a little bit, but just holds a pretty steady.
What's the song called?
Judgment Day.
Sure, yeah.
And the chorus, and I personally find this like really clever, really meaningful songwriting. One of the lines, a couple of lines. See if I can recall this. I'm no angel, I'm no savior, and I've never been a saint. Well, I know I'm not the devil because I still can feel the pain. So
edgy.
Like it's I think it's quite poetic. I think he can be very when he really gets into his zone, he can be super poetic with his lyrics.
Sure.
So,
yeah, and that's is instantly better than anything Nickelback's done. So no, look, not to take away from what you're saying. Again, ongoing theme here at the Bangers List. If it helps you, it helps someone, you know, get through a bad time, maybe pick up a phone and call someone to talk or just help someone in their day-to-day. Like, it doesn't have to be, like world-shatteringly supportive.
Yeah.
But if it gets you through your day-to-day, fantastic. If you like it, fantastic. Like, go for it. There's no, you know, we're not gatekeep. Oh, I'm not trying to gatekeep. Even though I don't like these guys. But anyway. All right. Songs we know by these guys.
Oh, mate.
I'm going first.
I think I know what one you're going to say. But
which record?
Can I guess? I'm going to say War is the Answer.
No.
Oh, because I remember.
Oh, the record's War is the Answer, yes.
Okay, the record, yeah. And the song?
Hard to See.
Yes.
Yes, I knew it.
Why? How did you
remember
know that?
I remember the conversation.
I actually don't mind that song. Yeah. The video clip is as cringy as fuck because it's him just. I have this weird thing with video clips. I don't like a singer not using a mic in a video clip. I understand they're probably miming the lyrics or singing them at half speed. I just think singers not having a microphone to sing into, it makes me cringe a little bit. I don't know why. So he doesn't use one in that. And like his whole stage presence is really edgy and whatever. And the thing with him getting buried alive by the mafiosos, like I get, it's very thematic to the song, which lyrically isn't bad. The best part I like is one, the Zoltan guy doing the fucking massive windmill with his his hectic dreadlocks. But the second one is like and the solo kicks off. There's like the rest of the band, like they do like the really, really like cliche shot of them all like jumping over a fence together and like landing on the ground. They're like running through this graveyard.
Yeah.
And then the bit where he screams your side is the bit where the dude like decks one of the mafiosos. Like just hits him with like a flying Superman punch,
death punch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought it's just them just like pumping, like beating these guys up and just pumping dudes and stuff like that. So, like that's
tough guy
it's fun. Say. Yeah, exactly right. It's that whole tough guy thing. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't mind the song and the video clip has entertainment factors, not necessarily for good or bad reasons, but
oh, they've got very interesting and entertaining video clips for sure.
Yeah.
Who wants to go next? Like to have some fun. Joel, you go next.
Yeah.
Wrong Side of Heaven, the first one, they did the Wrong Side of Heaven and the Righteous Side of Hell, part one and part two.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of that stuff.
Well, that was the one that, look, I don't know if I, you said you had your, you listened to them in the car that time, but I think I showed you that album.
I believe you did.
At,
I think
1.2, and you dug it, right?
Yeah, I think it was Wrong Side of Heaven, the title track was quite good, and so was Under and Over It All.
That was from American Capitalist.
Fuck! Yeah. Anyway, I don't know my albums, but they're just, average kind of their sound. Like, it's just right, their sound in like one song, it's all there.
Those
it's good.
Two, so there. Yeah.
It's good.
Well,
what do you reckon, mate?
The mic,
where do I begin?
You can pick.
I'm not going to say one. Let's go. Let's just maybe. We'll go through the discography a little bit. So let's go back to The Way of the Fist. We talked about The Bleeding earlier. Fantastic. But if you dig this song, check out White Knuckles.
Yeah, okay.
White Knuckles. Fucking awesome. Cringy as fuck, but fun as fuck. Breakdown, too. It literally goes, it's one of those build-up breakdowns. He goes, I'm taking back control with my knuckles. And it just builds up, just says that phrase over and over again. And it just explodes. And then,
my knuckles.
It's like exactly like that. Listen to
that's,
it. Fucking
that is the new
it.
Crunchy riffs of this podcast, my knuckles. So what you're saying musically is that's that.
It's similar musically.
It's got the same sort of flavour, bit of heavy, bit of melodic.
Catchy chorus. Yeah, exactly. Same sort of flavour, but it's their early days and they're very bit more angsty back then too. And look, we've touched on The Wrong Side of Heaven period. From the second volume of Wrong Side of Heaven, Righteous Side of Hell, Volume 2, which, by the way, just a little side note here, both those albums were released in the same fucking year because they had too many songs and they didn't want to do a Guns N' Roses and do Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, like at the release them at the same time, double album, but they split the albums up, released them about 6 months apart.
Sure.
Even though they were already written, recorded and everything, they just delayed the release of them.
In Heart's Wake, they're a similar thing as well.
You don't want to give all your content out and get all that.
Yeah, that's right. It's too much to take in.
Yeah.
Like Guns N' Roses could get away with it because they're the biggest band in the world at the time. But both albums got to number 2 on the US Billboard charts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Both albums. Like, I think the first one outsold the second one comfortably, but and rightfully so. It's probably a little bit better. But anyway,
they would have probably put the more B side stuff on the second
one. And I think
one,
when you've already had, I think you already had your taste of, you've had your fix of Five Finger Death Punch for the year. You go, all right, that's cool. But the fans will go listen
specifically
to it.
Specifically under that name.
I was
as well.
On it there from day one, but
sure.
But the general public, the metal community might be like, oh, I've already heard Five Finger Death Punch. I'll get onto that later.
Yeah, I've got enough of them for 12 months.
Yeah, that's right. Sure. But it was still hugely successful. And I believe both those albums have since gone platinum. But off that record, great song called Cradle to the Grave.
Oh, that was actually a banger. Mm. I wish I should have said that. Good shit.
Oh, yeah.
Cringe as fuck.
Once again, a good tribal beat throughout it, basically, and just has this darkness and intensity through it, not fast, but just this,
it's good. He fucking sings really well, and I just honestly
sings it super well. That the riffs or some Zoltans on his fucking game,
they're all good musicians, they're just doing things that I don't like.
Yeah,
that's how I describe it, because you got to give credit where it's due. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, their music, they deserve to be as popular as they are because of their music, because it's all subjective, but they're just, it's like A7X, another band, they. Great musicians don't make stuff I like to hear.
Mm. So
good on them.
Anything else? Cool. Any other songs, bro?
One other I'll mention. Yeah. I won't go through every single album because I've got nine.
That's
of them
all right.
Now.
I do every week.
Yeah. So you mentioned Under and Over It from American Capitalist. That's a great song from that album, though. And this, I want to talk about this one because it was one of their biggest hits. It's one of my personal favorites. Coming Down.
Coming Down, yeah.
Coming Down off American Capitalist,
I believe,
track 8.
Yep.
Like, I'm getting my Julian on now. I'm pretty certain it is track 8, actually.
Because
I actually had that on my 6-track fucking player in my Subaru back in the day. Track 8, have it on repeat.
That's a throwback.
Yeah, so like a really, really cool song. Beautiful melodies, really powerful lyrics. And the theme is, it's suicide. Like, the theme's mental health and suicide. And they have this really powerful video clip. They're not even in it. It's, they've got actors.
It's like an AS story.
Yeah,
sure.
And I think that they have a message for mental health awareness at the end of it. Like,
fantastic.
So like we said, whether you like them or not, they do good things for the community.
They're doing good shit for society.
They're not just about the music. Like, I think at their core, they're all very good people too. And they want to genuinely help.
Do you know they cover House of the Rising Sun?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's good shit.
Yeah, that was off Righteous, Wrong Side of Heaven.
Yeah.
Part two, yeah.
What track number was it? Cut that.
11. I think it's 11.
Yeah.
10. Because 10
it's
maybe.
A cover, so
I think, they close it. I think they close the album.
They've done a couple of covers. Have they done...
Oh, heaps of covers. Bad Company. Ooh, ooh,
another good one.
They've done... what's that? Oh,
he does. I know they do "Gone Away" by The Offspring live.
Gone Away, yep. They do. Ooh, they do a cover of that. They do.
That's a very heavy one to cover
that,
as well.
That rapper, listen to the bass go booming. What's that? Mama said "Knock You Out." Mama said "Knock You Out" from the '90s. They did a cover of that.
It's a cover. Okay. That was a cringe song.
Yeah, that was a cover. Well, they've got at least half a dozen of them. Yeah.
It's not afraid
to do a cover.
It's
either.
For a band like that. The sort of the whole. Yeah, popular rock, stadium rock sort of thing. It's good to have those sort of things up your sleeve as well. You know, some of the bands I like, if they started doing covers, I'd be like, come on, guys, you're above that. But it's not below a band like Five Finger Death Punch, or it's not like demeaning for them. It's that they're that kind of band.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
It's and like they, the I think they just look at it like they want to have some fun. Like, and it's just that they want to, whether it's pay respect to their influences or whether they just want to do something a little bit different. Because it is like, I do covers and for me, like, writing something is super, super rare, but I also find it very refreshing. So they probably find it refreshing to take someone else's song and then put their own twist on it.
Yeah, exactly right. That's
a fucking pretty good way of looking at it. Thank you for that insight.
No worries.
Good, man.
Yeah. Happy to help.
What
were you going to say, dude?
No, I don't know why you said it. It reminded me of every fucking show that you and I have ever been to. The sound guy always plays either BYOB or Chop Suey.
Yeah.
And the entire fucking crowd sings along with the house PA. I swear I've mentioned that before.
Or like Master of Puppets or something. Yeah.
Or just like fucking Taylor Swift or something. And you'll have all these like metalheads going, fuck, singing like a Blink 182 song or whatever.
And Bohemian Rhapsody all the time as well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. And everyone just yelling, say pineapple to the sound guy when he's chesting the mic.
All right, back on track. The reason we're all here.
The bangs.
Would you guys like me to go first? Because I know you guys are probably feeling a bit nervous.
Let's go Julian second because we don't want it to finish on a
high note. Yeah.
So this song for me bangs at about a 7. That's 7 bangs. But the rest of it could be like, a bit lower, but it bangs at a 7. What do you reckon,
Julian? So you're giving it 7 bangs? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, 7 bangs out of the proverbial 10.
Maybe we've got to provide some more criteria to... How we assess
we'll do some homework on that.
It's usually like, I like it this many. Yeah. It means a lot to me.
You on the This Ship of Coffin episode. A hard 10.
Did you give it a 10?
Yeah.
And he's like, I hate the end of it, but it's still a 10. I'm going to go fucking 5.
5.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Joel gave miracles, so.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just meh.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me. And this is where it's completely subjective between the three of us. Mm. It just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I'd rather slam my dick in a car door.
And most people would consider this heavy, but you've grown up on heavy music like since you were 14 pretty much. So you're very well versed in heavy music, and you might not consider this actually.
I personally don't consider this heavy. No, it's fucking it's like
rock for
it's
you.
It's metal. Yeah. Like it's rock and like metal. Like, I've always used the term metal to describe things that aren't heavy metal. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Wow, you have such deep knowledge of, like, genres.
Okay, so, like, Disturbed, right? Yeah. Single guitar metal band. I wouldn't call them heavy metal. They're metal. Because they're not rock, but they're not metal. Like, heavy metal. Do you see what I mean? Mm. Like, I think heavy metal as a fucking term is, like, a misnomer now. It's not actually anything anymore.
That's a good point.
Because what's heavy metal? Is Slipknot heavy metal? Is fucking In Flames heavy
Metallica,
metal?
Is
Metallica?
It?
Is Five Finger Death Punch? Yeah. Yeah. Is fucking Mayval covers? Who knows?
No.
But yeah, metal is that in between heavy stuff and rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right, that makes sense.
Wrap it up for us.
All right, I'm gonna give it an 8. 8 bangs. Yeah.
Wow, 8 bangs.
I love the intensity of it. I love the message and the fuck you behind it.
Sure.
It's cool. Like the riff's simple but good, and it's Five Finger Death Punch is what I was listening to the album and I was like, I wasn't disappointed, but I was just like, okay, this is going to be one of those albums where I'm going to need to let it grow on me. But then it got to this track, and I was just like, oh, fuck yeah, there we go. That's them. That's what I wanted to hear.
And sometimes it just takes that one track to unlock the rest of the record. And I was like, cool.
And then we're off. And,
sure.
And the only reason it doesn't get a 9 or a 10 for me is because it's just towards the end. I just wanted to finish a little bit stronger because it comes back in with the breakdown riff at the end, and then the double bass kicks in. Like the drums, fucking Charlie Engen, I think is the name of the drums. Yeah. And it starts to pick up, and like it finishes at a high level as well. And then it's just a this scream at the end. And then at the end, Ivan just unleashes with this last sort of last ditch effort scream. I just wanted that to go for like 5 seconds longer, just to kind of unleash everything. That would have just really sort of satisfied me. Yeah. But he cuts it off a bit short. Then he says, "That's what's up."
That's what's up.
Please,
that wraps
please
up
cut that into the end of the episode.
That's
Joel was sitting there. I was watching him watch you. He was sitting there on fucking tenterhooks, going, "Please say it. Please say it. Please say it." And you did. And I've seen kids that were less happy on Christmas than you were just then. Hey,
I came back. I was like, "Oh yeah, he fucking wrecks the song at the end." I think that wraps up another fantastic episode, guys. Thank you for coming. Check us out on, Facebook. No, not Facebook.
We're going to have a Facebook again.
Check us out on
Twitter.
Check
us out on literally no social media platforms.
Yeah, there's a Twitter, but
check
no one uses it.
Check us out Twitter, the Bangers List.
Yeah, check out the playlist on Spotify, Bangers List Season 2, SO2. Fuck yeah. That's what's up.
That's what's up.